Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. Due to a technical issue, we were unable to record this reflection live on Facebook, so it takes a slightly different format. Dave recommends you read Luke 15 from verse 11, the parable of the prodigal son, before his reflection, which is entitled, Take a Risk for God.
Cool. Well, good morning, Lynn. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Morning, Dave.
It's just the two of us. But I like that. We're going to explore a parable that Jesus said, and it's one that is often mistranslated. And to be honest, when I read it, I didn't have a clue what it's on about. So there's my confession. And it's a good thing to get our brains into gear on this sunny Wednesday morning. It's the 6th of July. And let's begin.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 18.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God. The law of the prophets were in effect until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery.
Because I wonder, in reading that, did any of it actually go in, Lynn? What did you... Anything?
Well, I've read this a good few times. It's always flummoxed me. It's very challenging, shall we put it in there?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to deal with as well. We've got this first bit of this strange parable. And then it goes on about money and the law. And then divorce comes in at the end. It's like packed full of stuff, this passage. And yeah, my brain kind of melted when I read this. Like, what is this trying to say?
If the bill had been mine, I would happily have given half of it, reduced it by half or whatever. But it isn't actually mine to have, is it? I mean, that's the bit that gets me. Unless I've read it wrong, of course.
Yeah, so I thought this parable to start with about this master and the steward was about money, because that's what follows. The teaching that follows is about money, and it goes on to money later as well. But the commentaries say, well, actually, this book is amazing. Jesus through Middle Eastern eyes.
Oh, yeah.
By Kenneth Bailey, and we're using this for the sermon series in the Lord's Prayer. So he unpacks the Lord's Prayer really well. It's a meaty book, but it was really good at putting you in the context at the time. And he says the biggest flaw here is that chapter division, Luke 16, verse 1. So people start there and they read onwards. And what we often forget to do is look at Luke 15. What's happened? Because those chapter divisions weren't there. And the story directly before this is the prodigal son. And so why has he gone from the prodigal son about God's character and God's amazing mercy? Why has Jesus then gone, or Luke, as he's written it, gone into this? Again, it's very much linked. The chapter numbers were put there later. And he says the biggest flaw in our translations is to think this is just about money. And it's not about, it's about God's character. So we need to look at this with the prodigal son in our mind and think of it that way. And that, yeah, I just read this passage like it is ready for this morning. I didn't even think about going to Luke 15. So that's the first thing we need to think about. People have translated this as a result into like, can you buy your way into heaven? Is it okay to be a little corrupt with your money, or to like, you know, get money in unjust means in order for the greater good? All those kind of like things, and God will forgive, it'll be fine. There's all sorts of issues that have come from this. So I've also gone to Tom Wright with this as well. And they kind of say different things about, they take different things from this. This one says, yeah, it's about God's character. So the master is God and the steward is Israel. And Tom Wright kind of says that. But he also says that the master is a little dishonest in this story as well. So can that be God? Because God is like pure. And so why would he say that the master is dishonest? So in the Jewish world, the Jews aren't allowed to lend money with interest. And so what they tended to do, which is a bit underhand, was Israel would, they would lend oil. So 100 jugs of olive oil, or they'd lend wheat. Or, you know, they'd lend things like that, and then they charge interest on it. And so what Tom Wright says that the steward has done is he's cancelled the interest off. So he said, 100 jugs of olive oil? Okay, take your bill, make it 50. So 50 was probably the original amount that he borrowed, but he was having to pay back 100 because of the interest. And then it makes the steward very clever. Because he makes a friend of the debt, the person who's in debt, but he also knows that the master has no leg to stand on, because this isn't really kosher. This isn't what he's meant to be doing. He's not meant to be charging interest. And so he says, you know, I've done this to your accounts, and that's fair, yeah? So he's got nothing to come back on, which is why he's not punished for it. Oh, I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. In here, though, he says that... actually, it's the generosity of God that's coming through here. So the steward has done this. He's done this to his accounts. And even though God, the master, he said, you know, what you've done is wrong, but he praises his intelligence and his ability to try and make friends, make a way for himself. And he doesn't punish him for it, per se, other than still sacking him. So his point here is that this parable shows that God is just. So he is... pulling him to account for what he's done. He's saying, like, you've squandered what you've been given. You haven't treated my accounts with respect. So I'm going to sack you. And then this steward manages to get his way out, to find other friends, to find a living elsewhere. And God praises him for that. And so that's like, actually, God is just. And with our sins and stuff like that, he will hold us to account. But he's also forgiving and generous and merciful. And it's that kind of theme that comes through in the prodigal son. Even though the son has gone and squandered all the money, he is still welcomed back in. And yeah, so whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. There's also this, like, he's not praising for his ethics. He's still saying, you know, this isn't good what you're doing. So the picture here is that we have Israel, and they're the Pharisees that Jesus is talking to, and they have the law. And their response to being threatened by Jesus or by a crisis, the cultural crisis, so the Romans are coming, is to hold on tighter to the law, is to pull it further in, to make sure they're as holy as can be. And all that ends up doing is excluding others, and it pushes them to the margins, saying, actually, you're not holy enough. You can't belong to us, otherwise we'll be tainted by you. Mm. We need to keep up for a little more, more, more. And actually, Jesus is saying in this parable that our response shouldn't be like the Pharisees. It shouldn't be just to hold on to more money or hold on to more land or more power. It is to actually risk it like this steward. Throw caution to the wind and break down barriers that have been there, or invite people in that you wouldn't normally invite in. And that's what Jesus does. He goes out to the margins. He does things in a different way that they just wouldn't have done. Also, another really interesting point here that he makes is that this steward in this culture would not have remained silent. He would have leapt to his own defense, because normally there's a negotiation that takes place. They say, the practice is that, if you're accused of something, then you respond. You say, actually, it's the people I've been dealing with are thieves, or there's this that's wrong, or it's the way I've been working for you for generations, my family has. Surely you have mercy, rah, rah. But this steward remains silent here. He doesn't say any of that. He knows he's done wrong. Mm. And so that was an interesting take on that as well. I'm not sure where I'm going with that now. So what I want to take from this morning is that God is just, but he's also merciful and good. And I think where we are as a church is that actually we feel like we're in crisis a lot of the time. We've had COVID, we've had attendance go down. In this country, church attendance is dramatically decreasing. And the temptation is to hold on to what we know works before. Hold on to the structure, hold on to the institutions that we know what works. Let's keep on down that road. And if it's not working, it's not working. And what this parable is saying to me this morning is to throw caution to the wind, is to try new things. And we see that with the pioneering movement coming from the diocese, and people that are trying new things. And we don't know the fruit of that yet, but it is being generous with our resources, and it is trying something new, which is imaginative. Taking a risk. God's a creative God. And I think that's what it says this morning. So also...
Is it also saying keep an open mind in a way? We sort of tend to think, something's black and white, but it's actually, try to open our minds and listen to other people before making a judgment. Maybe we don't make a judgment.
Yeah, because it's God's place to judge.
Not ours. Interesting.
So let's go into prayer after all that. Sorry. It's really interesting.
No, thank you, Dave. It's really interesting. It's quite a nice format to do as well.
So the diocese this week are asking us to pray for young people. And every day on their social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, they've got different people praying for young people. So you can engage with that. But I just thought we'd pray for the young people in the church and the schools that we know in Taunton this morning. So let's firstly pray for the church, St. James, and what we could do that we're not already doing. So God, I thank you for this parable. Thank you for, even though I've read this many times, it still confuses me when it hits me again. Like, what are you trying to say to us? And actually going to different commentaries, and they're saying very different things. But God, I thank you that you speak through your scriptures, and there is something that is so rich about it, that is to be mined and churned over and explored. And the answers can mean different things for us on different days or different cultures. So God, I thank you for that. The Lord, I pray that you'd speak through us today, Lord, that we would, in some respects, we would be like that steward, that we would take a risk with what you've given us, that we wouldn't do it unethically, that we'd, we'd stick to your teaching, Lord. But Lord, would you help us to take risks? Would you help us to be imaginative? Would you help us just to break out of what we've done before, and let us not hold too tightly to the fact that, we don't just want to be holy as holy. We want to take a risk. So Lord, I thank you for all those pioneers out there that are trying new things, that are making pathways for us to follow. Lord, I thank you for all those people working with young people, because it is that coming generation that again are different, that think differently. Mm-hmm. So Lord, I pray for all the Youth for Christ today, for Anthony, for those chaplains in schools. And I pray for our young people that come to St. James's Church. Yeah, Lord, please forgive us when we get things wrong. And Lord, would you expose our sin when it's fruitful to do so? And Lord, we pray for that for our politicians as well, when things go wrong. And Lord, would you give us wisdom as stewards of your earth, as your resources, you know, the earth we stand on. We pray for the environment and how we use it. Also for the money that we have. Lord, would you give us wisdom in what to do? Lord, as we think again of the young people, how we're stewarding this world, Lord, I pray that we would somehow be able to leave them in a better place than we currently are. Absolutely. I pray that we wouldn't leave them in a worse place. It feels like a real battle, Lord, with those, the powers of politics and fossil fuel industry and all those things, Lord. I pray that you would be just here on this world, Lord, and help us to make a stand. Lord, as a church, I pray that we would communicate a message of hope to our young people and enable them to make action if it's needed. So I'm going to skip to the Lord's Prayer now, which is a wonderful. We're doing this in Sunday school, children's church. And we start the Lord's Prayer at church, and it's so nice just to reflect on it and actually how simple it is. It's really short, cuts to the chase. There's no like long-winded introduction, and actually how personal it is. Our Father, it starts in the Aramaic Abba, which was groundbreaking at the time. It's not in some holy religious language of the Pharisees. It's for everyone. So let's remind ourselves of that again. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.